to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Manchester, England, UK, motherfuckers. We're in a toilet. I think I'm with my friend Rox from Shape of Water. He's like, hey, this place used to be a toilet. It doesn't smell like piss or shit anymore, but it's a cool bar. And you're right, we're at the temple.
Fucking crazy. Fucking amazing place called the temple.
Yes. And we're here with Sarah and
Fish back off.
Yes. So we got four of us. We're going to be talking to you all night or part of the night until, unless we don't get enough footage, then I have to talk more. But no, hey, we're at like a very cool, it's like a subway restroom they turned into a super killer, like little pub bar thing.
Four meter square place, but
yeah.
It's so, like, it's so intimate. Like, it's just, and it's got the right vibe. It's like when you go to a toilet, right? When you go to a toilet, you wanna be like with yourself, like intimate, and have time to think. Then you have exactly the same vibe here.
And I love the music. They got a jukebox and it's all full of like older stuff. I do see Pearl Jam. That's not too old. That's like 90s. But I think I see James Gang or something up there. Black Crowes. Very cool little bar though.
No, I was thinking Nick Cave as well.
Oh, Nick Cave is Black Seas. I love Nick Cave. Yeah. So, very cool bar. We can't talk because it's so loud because people will not respect the Ragman show in here. And they should. They should know who I am. I haven't been asked for an autograph the whole time I've been in England, which is fucked up. And hold on. Rox is looking for a pen.
Yeah, exactly.
But hey, guys, we're going to get caught up with Shape of Water. Unfortunately, Luca's not here. He's got a pancake foot at the moment. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But hey, Rox, let's play a song from a band you love. And then when we get out of that song, we'll be at another place and we'll talk a little bit more.
What song should we play? Well, this is... But continuing the vibe, I think I want to go with something from the 70s. Yeah. What do you think?
Sure.
It's a 20-minute song. Okay.
We'll play a minute and a half. That's
okay.
We
well, then Echoes from Pink Floyd.
Let's do it. Little Pink Floyd.
Thank you.
we've moved to the Gasland. You heard Pink Floyd. And then there's been a lot of beer consumed tonight. Just like the last time I hung out with my friend, Rox. Luca's not here because his foot got flattened. We love you, Luca. Hopefully it doesn't look like a Looney Tunes cartoon where your foot looks like a pancake right now. So we're going to catch up with Rox a little bit more, see what's going on with Shape of Water, and drink some beer. So I've got the Paloma, the Palm of Your Eye, and then Rox went with the
Surrealist.
The Surrealist, Surrealist. By somebody.
I have no idea what that is, but it's pretty good.
Then we got Sarah. Sarah, what are you drinking?
Some kind of bourbon.
All right. Or Bish.
A fruit beer.
A lambic.
Raspberry.
Lambic. I got you. I got your back. Lindemans, I think. Raspberry and something else. I'm trying to help you out. So anyway, so Rox, what's going on with Shape of Water? You got gigs coming up. We talked 6 months ago-ish. Yeah, it's been that long. Yeah, November. Hold on, let me get my calculator. 7 months. Yeah.
Kennel sweat, right?
Yeah. So tell me about the last 7 months. What's going on with Shape of Water? Is there new music that you and Luca are writing? Or is it all concentrated on the, like, Petrichor and touring or playing gigs or whatever?
So, probably you remember last time we were talking about these things, right? Writing new music, but at the same time trying to promote Petrichor, because it's still, you know, it's still relevant to what we're doing at the moment, because we are promoting the album with our gigs and shows. So we had some alternative versions of the songs that we wanted to release, so we decided to release Petrichor deluxe version edition of the album. So we're going to release it on the 27th of June. So it's going to have, so it's going to be Petrichor, the album, plus 8 more songs.
Oh, wow.
So awesome. Yeah, 8 alternative versions. So it's going to be like a bit of, like, lots of different styles in there. And that is going to help us promote the album again with the festival we are playing this summer and in autumn as well. We plan to do more gigs, but the next couple of gigs we're going to have, obviously they're going to be a bit different because of Luca's injury, so it's not going to be the same. But that is also kind of a silver lining, because we are having a little bit more time now to work on some new music. We actually really started. We started with a concept. Still not sure exactly where we're going. I've got some ideas. Lucas got some ideas. What we want to do this time is kind of get together. Not sure exactly how it's going to be possible because Luca is still not able to move properly. So we might actually get together at his house and start composing some new stuff.
So let me ask you this. How long has Petrichor been out at this point? I think it came out like 6 to 8 months ago. When do you start like thinking like, oh shit, we gotta start writing again? Or do you like, let's not write until like the next cycle, like 12 months, 16 months, 18 months, or 2 years?
No, I think for us it's like it happens when it happens. It kind of depends on when we get together and individually, I guess, when we have time and when we feel it, we feel like we want to write new music. Because obviously when we wrote Petrichor, it wasn't right before we released the album. It was like a few years before. So we kind of already feel the urge of doing new music already. Even if the album was out just 8 months ago.
Well, I think being more organic, like you said, I love you said, you know, when we feel it, we'll write something, but we're not going to force it. It's not like, oh shit, it's been a year since the record's been out. We got to put something down. We got to do something. But you're writing in between cycles, so the album cycle. And then when you get to the point where you're like, okay, we've got 6 songs, we need 4 more. It's not the pressure of, I need 10 to 12 songs here. You've got it down, at least 6 or whatever. You don't release them until you're done, and then you're done. But my follow-up to that is, at what point when you have new music, do you say, I want to start releasing songs? Because you guys manage your own label now. It's not like you're with Eclipse anymore. It's not like the label's like pushing. You're like, well, fuck, we want to stay out there. We'll be relevant, putting out fresh new music. But we don't, here's my gripe to a lot of artists today, and the music industry has changed so much over the years, is like, I'm going to put out a song now, and then 2 years later, or a year later, I'm going to do more. I mean, there's like a lot of questions in this, what I'm asking you here is like, when's it the right time to put out a new song? When do you let the last record kind of rest? I mean, if you're writing and you haven't finished songs, but how long do you say, all right, we're going to give a full cutoff of 1 year or year and a half before we put out new songs?
So I think it's important to say that these days, well, it was always like this, but I think especially now, time is not relevant anymore, in the sense of a record, it can be old as, like, I don't know, 20 years. Like, take, I'm not sure if you watch Rick and Morty, right?
Yeah.
The TV show. There's a song in there that became popular. It was like the Morty's theme song. That song became popular 20 years after the band released it. And the band, it was like an indie band, nobody knew. And then after 20 years, they became famous.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, I think time-wise, music is not, like, time is not relevant anymore. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, we are still thinking about the album we released. Obviously, Petrico is the last one, so we are still playing live those songs. But that doesn't mean that Great Illusions, Amor Fati are not relevant anymore, because maybe at some point someone could pick up one of the songs and then they could, you know, become huge. You never know.
Yeah.
But that also means that we never stopped writing music. When I say that now we have more time to get together and write new music, it means that we have more time to, yes, write new music, but also work on the stuff we have already written in the past. Because, as I said, Petrico was written, the actual songs were written, I think, more than 2 or 3 years ago. So we definitely feel that we can, we already wrote some stuff. I wrote some new songs. Luca wrote some new songs as well. But the idea for this, the upcoming album, the new album is that we're going to write as much song as we can and probably release the album just as it is.
Wow.
That's it.
Okay.
Probably. We have some ideas. But this time, like for Petrico, we started with an idea of how to promote the album. We had some songs. We didn't have the whole album planned. So we started releasing Naked.
In your eyes, I see a wake spark. Hidden in the dark.
And then the Silence of the Lambs, and then we kind of slowly built up the album.
Yeah.
In this case, now I think we decided that we want to actually go back to square one and just compose the whole album, maybe more than one album, even two albums, and then decide and then release that all together.
That's awesome. I love that. I love, because the beauty of your band, you don't know what you're going to get from track to track. I've told you that before. You're very versatile and stuff. And a secret source told me the new record's going to be called Ragman. I'm not sure if that's true or false. Or I mean, I think Sarah mentioned that.
Yeah, it has to be. Just
Sarah's kind of fucked up. I mean, she could have said, and that's the manager, people. You remember her from a few shows back. But, I mean, I'm honored. And don't laugh at me. I'm kind of crying right now. I have tears. I have tears right now. That it could be called the Ragman album, but
it will be called Ragman 2026.
But no, seriously, I think that I love your approach, and I asked other artists, like, you know, if you released a song 9 months before the record comes out, it's like having a baby, just so to speak. But if you put out that one song, or if you do another, you're like, is it singles? Going to be a record? I think closer to the, and I want your opinion on this, I think 2 or 3 months prior to the release, releasing a song or two, I think that's ideal. Because if you just space it out too far, in my opinion, you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I can't, well, you know, marketing in terms of, like, music business changes all the time. I feel these days, musicians should be more like, think about organically more about the actual music and less about marketing.
Right.
Which I understand that it's something that is completely different to what I was maybe saying 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Changing your mind is fine. It's good. So I think, you know, if you think about all the AI and stuff, people, like, I'm not sure exactly what I'm saying, but
we've had a lot of beer.
Yes.
It's fine.
Exactly.
No, I think where you're going with this is, like, the whole AI thing, and it's funny. I'll see stuff on YouTube that says, hey, this band collabed, and then I'm like, I play it, I'm like, that sounds fake, and then I look at the comments, they're like, it's AI. I hate AI, and the fact that it can't replace genuine organic music, like what you create and a lot of the artists I love create.
I still believe that obviously AI, it's here, and we cannot, like, you cannot avoid. It's just, it's gonna be there. It's something. There's nothing we can do.
It's not going away.
Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean that we have to. It's something that has to be regulated, in my opinion.
Sure.
But also, I believe that creative people, artists, should be the one that start to teach people how to recognize what's fake and what's real.
Yeah.
And that is, like, one of the reasons why, like, we were talking about this, Luke and I, and we thought maybe we should go back to the roots, because that will show more what is an actual band, what a band does, what an artist, like, real organic playing, drums and bass, and, like, without any help
from technology.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. And I'll tell you this. I think that AI is going to fade out as far as music's concerned, and probably entertainment, like movies and stuff like that, because people are going to say it's not real. And people like real. I mean, human beings like real. We're not robots yet.
No.
But as far as music is concerned, it's like generic. When it comes out, it's generic on the AI stuff.
It will get better.
It will, but you'll never have the human element, in my opinion.
Right, I'll tell you this story. It's very interesting because there's on Facebook, I saw this post from a guy that claims to listen to real music. And then he posted this song, and he was like, this feels like this human. This is great. This is. And then I went to dig a bit in, and this song was actually AI.
Oh, yeah.
So I think a lot of people will not understand what the difference between AI and real music. Unless there is the corporation, they will start regulating, well, corporation and governments will start regulating AI, which I'm starting to think that this will never happen, or maybe they will happen in like probably 10, 50 years. It's probably our role as artists to try and direct people and say, well, look, it's not that it's AI is bad, but this is actually real music.
Right. So I'll tell you this. This is so interesting. So I went to a thing called Comic Palooza in Houston. It's like Comic-Con all over the world. So my stepdaughter-to-be loves that. The comics and the stickers and whatever they sell. And she's an artist, and she draws like none other. She's great. But then she's like, I want to go to this concert. I'm like, okay. We go, and it's like this anime girl singing. I'm not sure if it's someone singing or what. And people were going apeshit. I mean, again, it's like 50 people. It's not like 50,000 people. But I'm like, I want to get the fuck out of here. As soon as that started, and maybe I'm old. I'm not old. I promise you all here, I'm not that old. But I was like, how can you watch a fucking video and go apeshit over a fucking video of someone that's animated, not a real person?
But in our defense, we have done a couple of AI videos to our songs, haven't we?
Yes.
And very mixed reactions. We've had 50% saying, oh, we love it, it really goes with the song, and others saying, oh, it's AI, fuck them. You know, so it's hit and miss.
But it's a visualizer type video. It's not like a major thing.
With an AI video.
Right. But no, I get that too, and there's a lot of artists that do it, and I'm like, okay, that's fine, but me as a purist, like an old school fan, I want to see the band. And I talked to Gus G about this. He did a video with Dora Pesh, and he's playing guitar, she's singing, and there's the AI bullshit. And I was like, that was so cool, because I got to see you and Dora. And then, I love Gus G, but his backing players are great people, but I don't know who they are, and I don't care. I want to see Gus play guitar, and I want to see Dora Pesh sing. And then in that one song, she fucking gives it like a motherfucker for whatever her age is. I'm like, this is so fucking cool.
Just gets me.
Jive stuff where it's like the whole storyline following this song and stuff like that. That's cool too. But I know it's a real band playing the music. If I knew it was like a fake band, I would check out like that.
Is that right? Just create an AI video. It took a lot of time and a lot of effort, and each part went with each part of the music.
There was also a reason why we created that, and we kind of made a point with that video specifically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that it's like we do with music. We try to we experiment things, then we either like it or not. And then we realized when we made that video out of time. AI kind of people using it, not using it. But then we realized that yes, it's great. It's a powerful tool, but maybe it could be used for good things instead of arts. Arts is a good thing, but humans can still do it. If AI could be used, like I don't know, for cancer research or I don't know, scientific stuff, that is great.
Agreed.
Let the artist do the arts.
Sure.
We made the point, if anyone that commented and said this is shit, this is AI, we were like, well, come and see us then. Come and see us live. You know, take the time out, come and fucking see us, and then you'll see that we're live and we're real, and this music is real and brilliant.
No, it's so sad. I mean, coming from where I am in life right now with the woman I love the most, if she got three kids before me, she met me. Two of them are like so talented artistry wise, like artists. They can both draw, do all this shit, but they're deflated like, well, AI's gonna, I can't do anything because AI's here. I'm like, no, there's this.
My daughter studying at college graphic design, and I think, well, it's not gonna exist in a couple of years, you know, you're wasting your time, but, you know, that's what she wants to do, so that's fine, but, you know, I worry that there's no future in it.
I feel so sorry for them. I'm like, fuck, you're so talented, and then you're like, this computer can take, but the computer can do what you can do, but not, it can't put the human touch on it. And it's just, at the end of the day, it's like, even with music, can a computer or robot or whatever the fuck it is, can it do the human touch? I don't think so. I think it's bullshit. Because whenever I hear an AI song, I'm like, within 1 minute, I'm like, that's bullshit.
I saw a comment the other day from someone who was saying she wants AI to do her laundry and her washing up. She doesn't want, so she's got time to do her art and her music. But it's the other way around at the minute. AI is doing the art and the music.
Yeah.
You know, and it made sense, didn't it?
It's annoying. Yeah. And I hate it for guys like you. You're trying to start a band and get a big band together, and then this shit clouds your whole fucking career. And not whole career, but I mean, you can play live and people will come see you, but it hinders what you can do on a more global level. We've talked about you come to like taxes in the U.S. the whole time, and you're like, how do we do it? Is there money there? Can we break even? And I've talked to several artists, like, it's hard. It's hard to come to the U.S. Visas, the whole nine yards. But I would love, and I would, like, be your, no offense, sir, I'd be their tour manager in the U.S. She said, fuck me. No, I would welcome you guys and help you any way I could, to be totally honest. Because I love Rox and Luca, Sarah. I love Shape of Water. So, and it's so funny.
We want to just do the music. We don't want to do TikToks and get famous with TikTok. We want people to appreciate the music.
Yeah, you don't want to be a parody of yourself, right? That's what it comes down to. But, I mean, if I can help you guys come to the U.S. and spread the word of Shape of Water, because, guys, you've heard of...
All your listeners to support Shape of Water. Come on, follow our pages, push it out, tell your friends.
But Shape of Water is such a great band, and I'm not... I mean, Rox is my boy. We're boys. You my boy?
I'm your boy.
Not your bitch.
Not my bitch. But, I mean, the music is so good. If I latch on to something I really love, I support the shit out of it. And I think that your band is so great, and I've told you this a million times, that you, like, the first record was more like classic hard rock. Second record, Almer 40, went into more of a alternative, like, heavy vibe, and then the last record, Petrichor, is just like a mesh of everything. So it's not like I'm not getting the same shit every time. And I've talked about this on shows. It's like there's bands that like do the same shit every record. And then if they change, they go way off the deep end. The beauty of Shape of Water is that you've always kind of had, like, we're not quite this, we're a little bit of everything.
You can't put them in a box, don't you dare put them in a box, they won't have it. They just play whatever the fuck, they play whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
It would never happen. It would never happen. You would never say that, okay, Shape of Water is metal, rock, whatever. It's, right. It wouldn't have happened. Because it's not what... So our music is the reflection of what we are as people, like a person, like Luke and I, and every day is something different. Luca just broke his food. Like, every day something happens, and that reflects through our music. Not just the food, obviously, for Luca, in this case, but everything. Like, lives, like our life changes all the time, and with that, our emotions change, and then our music.
I agree.
This is why I love to manage them, because no day is the same. Every day is different. You know, they just have different ideas and different thoughts every day. Different music. This was brilliant.
I asked you this last time I saw you. Favorite Shape of Water song ever? Not live, just you're like, fuck, we nailed it. On that song, we nailed it. And if no one else cares, I don't care, because that's my favorite fucking song we ever did.
Oh, I will still pick. It's my favorite song, just the favorite song, Words in Eternity. It's just because I
love that song.
Yeah.
Sarah's gonna start crying again.
When they started, they played me two versions of the intro of the album, and one I was like, oh yeah, this is really great. Then they played another one, that's it. I was in floods of tears, like, it has to be that one, it has to be that one. It's not good song if I'm not crying.
It's got so much passion and feeling in that song. I love that song. It's probably my favorite song too.
It is. It's just literally that song came from the heart. That's just nothing. It's interesting because the music is one of the few songs that we. It was a jam session. Jam session.
Oh wow.
We played, like, we were in the rehearsal room, and we just remember the drummer at that time, they started just doing a normal four, and then Luca started playing this riff, and it was exactly as it is right now.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And then I started playing the chords, and the song was pretty much as you actually can hear it now, except for a few bits. And then a few years later, during COVID, I wrote the lyrics based on
you told me
exactly. And then,
guys, listen back to a couple episodes back, you'll get the real story.
But you have to listen to Silence of the Lambs. That is my absolute favorite.
Naked and then you have Silence of the Lambs, you're like, who is this fucking band?
It's fucking heavy rock.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. No, I told the word corpse paint in the video, but they decided to tear out kidneys and intestines and all that stuff. But live, I told you and Luca last time we talked, it's like, put on the corpse paint, go backstage for the encore, and put on the corpse paint and freak everybody out. Probably would, or not really, maybe.
Well, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
But you never know what Luca's going to come out in. Yeah. He's always got some magical outfit on, or some design.
On drums,
Okay, question, another question. Is there a song that you wrote that's a hit with the fans that you're like, I don't want to play that song ever again?
I think it's only after Silence of the Lambs anyway. They need a good lie down after that.
I still love playing Silence of Lambs live. I think at the moment, it's just, even if I love the song, but I think we're a bit of tired of playing Scar live. Yeah. Just because we played so many times, and it's just, I love the song. It's great. But she's like, okay, please.
They don't get out of it. Scar is fucking awesome.
No, it's funny. As a fan, you're like, oh, I wish they would play this song. Like, I like the deep tracks. And then I'm like, well, they didn't play that. Or even if they did a video for it, I was like, why did you play that? I want to see that song live. And they're like, I'm assuming the band's like, fuck it, I don't want to do that. If it's
when I first heard them, it was on Spotify, so I hadn't even heard them live at all. Yeah. And then they came to play my hometown, so I thought, I'm going to have to come out. And live, they are just like completely different to the album. Absolutely completely different. They just fucking go 100%. You've got to see them live.
I want to, but they will never play when I'm in town.
That's bullshit. I'm fucking playing your garden.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. I don't have a garden, but you can play in the driveway.
Fucking one. We're playing you drive. Yeah, we're playing you drive.
No, I have a venue for you if you'll come. It's a brewery.
Yeah, we need Texas drink beer. To come and support us and come out.
Yeah, for sure.
100%. I want to just fucking play everywhere.
All right. So, Rocks.
Yes.
It's getting late. We've had a lot of beer. No, I had more than you because I drank before you. But, and you worked. You had something to do. Sarah's fucked up right now.
Fucked, yeah.
So is Bish. No, he's sober. He's probably the soberest of all four of us.
No. Bish is yet to see them live. He's going to see them live this month. So, it's live this month in Manchester.
That's it. It's like you say, you like to see a band. If you hear something, you like to see them live. And it's just another experience, and it's worth doing. And AI can never take that. Never.
You're going to see him in Manchester. Anyone in Manchester, fucking UK, come and see him this month, 27th.
Yes, I was saying just he's going to see us live for the first time, but it's not going to be exactly the same with Luca, with his foot.
Yeah, we won't be jumping around the stage, but
if
know,
I was in,
it'd be a bit more safe for once, you know.
If I was in town, I would come introduce a band live.
Oh yeah, that would be
if
awesome.
You would have me.
It'd
be fucking awesome.
In your driveway.
But anyway, Rocks, before we let you go, tell the fans, give them like a teaser. And tell what you think about them right now.
About who?
The fans, your fans, your massive fan base. Well, do you have a message for them? He's stumped.
We would love to thank him for all the support so far.
Take some beer.
Yes. That's
he's exactly. Nervous.
What?
He would love to thank him for all their support so far.
Yes, that's exactly.
And Rocks tends to reply to every message. If you want to PM the band page, Rocks will reply and give you a personal message.
Okay. But
if
I want
to. You're female and single, they'd probably marry you.
Awesome, not sure. I want to thank.
Yes, and marry you.
No, I want. I'm not going to marry anyone.
Buy your beer.
I get my beer, but no, I want to thank all our fans because honestly, the best feeling I have. It's not just about the band and music in general. Like, I'm craving for playing live and seeing the faces of people happy when we play and singing our songs. That's the most important thing for me, being a musician and seeing that, and like kind of seeing that the emotions we put in our songs that actually are felt.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what, real quick, you just finished, but I have a question. So what song do the fans sing back to you the most? I'm just curious.
Oh, I definitely say Scar.
Yeah, Scar's awesome.
Definitely, there are a lot of people that want us to play Still Karma as well, or I don't know, Silence of the Lambs.
Absolutely, Silence of the Lambs.
I would.
Don't leave me in the dark. Missing back to you as well. Don't leave me in the dark.
Yeah, it's a interesting.
Check that video out. You know, it's very sad dildo in a drawer.
It's an interesting one. That one. But yeah, no, I'd say definitely Scar. Don't leave me in the dark.
World is calling me. They sing that as well. World is calling me.
Interestingly enough, also from Petrichor as well, Last Goodbye is a song that people start to get a lot and sing it as well.
All right, so last question. And the fans have clamored, it's like Ragman. If you could write a set list for Shape of Water, would they play it? I mean, I had one person ask me that. I don't know. Me. If I wrote your set list, could you and Luca do it, or would it be? Because I'm gonna throw this out there, Cheap Trick. You know Cheap Trick. We all do. They could play every song in their catalog on a whim, which amazes my mind because they have so much music. If I said, all right, Rocks, you got a week, I'm coming to Manchester or wherever you're playing. Here's the set list. Could you do it?
Potentially, yes. There might be a couple of songs that could... Yes, the answer is yes.
All right. Done.
For me, you still got it. Halloween is my favourite season, and every Halloween they do a Halloween set list, and it's just the most fantastic set list.
Have you ever had someone make your set list for you, or you and Luca always put it together? We're looking at Sarah right now.
Usually it's me actually making the set list. So not at the moment, but maybe it will come a day that someone will make a set list for us, and then I will hate that person.
Probably me.
So I'll only ask for a couple songs, I promise you. If you want me to write the set list, I will.
Texas will play what the fuck you want.
Hell yeah. Alright, Rocks.
Yes.
Great seeing you, my friend. Love you, bro. We're hugging and patting each other's backs. Fish, so nice meeting you.
Yes, nice meeting you.
Sir, great seeing you again.
Thank you.
But before we let the fans go tonight, check out Shape of Water.
Yes.
What's the website?
Shapeofwater.band.
Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you can find
everywhere.
Their music.
Yes, everywhere.
They're there. But the most important thing we're going to do right now is for you, because you clamor for it every fucking week and make me weak, but I love it. It actually gets me a little happy in the pants, if you know what I'm saying. But before we let you go, horns up!
Will tear you apart, and justice will make you rest your heart. Legacy of lust and breath you give me, I took apart slowly.